Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds. Hello everyone.
Hi, my name is David Bell.
I am Tom Raymond.
Nice. And we just watched Midsommar.
Midsommar.
It's Midsommar, aka white people. Am I right?
I told you that I want to go to that festival in Sweden.
No, you said it would be cool to go.
Yeah, and then I got the opportunity and I decided
to
do it.
I don't mind you going. I just wish you would have told me, that's all.
Dude, she needs a therapist. You've been wanting out of this stupid relationship for like a year now.
And don't forget about all of the beautiful Swedish women you'll meet in June.
Okay, guys.
That's not her again. Seriously?
Babe, what's happening? Danny.
White people and poor, poor Chitty from The Good Place.
You're right. Tom, what did you think of this movie?
This movie is the fucking Wicker Man.
Yes. Yes.
To the point where they literally put him in a bear suit and burn him alive.
Yeah. I would
this
say
this is
it's
fucking Wicker Man.
It's more like, I'm going to say it's more like the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man than the original for one reason alone. Did you spend the last 20 to 15 minutes of this movie laughing? Cause
yes.
I did. I was holding my mouth in the theater laughing, like trying not to bother the people around me.
Because I didn't have that issue because the guy sitting directly next to me was barefoot with his big feet up in the recliner and constantly bouncing his leg. So it literally shook the entire row of seats.
Wow. What an asshole. Oh, I hate it.
Had a great viewing experience.
Yeah. 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 Why is this... But he just made the Wicker Man.
This movie have a 79 on Metacritic? It's the fucking Wicker Man.
It really is. I don't. Yeah.
They
okay.
put him in a bear suit
and light him on fire. It's like slightly different, but it's so close to it that it could have been called the Wicker Man.
Yes. I hate this director.
Well, I like Hereditary.
I hate
all right.
him.
I like Hereditary.
He made a
2.5-hour
Wicker Man.
This, this is hard because I'm not gonna defend this director because I will say I was entertained by this movie, not because it was a good horror movie.
No, this
because,
movie. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say the first sequence, I liked with the sister. That was good.
Good thing it had absolutely nothing to do with the rest of the film.
Well, I want to get to that. Face value.
Thematically it does because the idea is that our main character no longer has a family, so she's kind of adrift.
Right, yeah.
Fucking hell of a coincidence.
Yeah. It's more that the reason I was, again, it clearly failed as a horror movie because, again, that first sequence was, I was like, yeah, that's scary, that's good. The rest of the movie, I was like, comforted by. I don't know how else to put it. The setting was very pretty. I knew what was going to happen because it's a movie about a cult.
You know what's going to happen from Jump Street. It's clear.
Because it doesn't surprise you in any way. No. And it was just very pretty because I like this director's style. Like, I like how he shoots things. So
He is technically good, yes.
Yeah, it's the writing.
The writing is garbage.
I was, like, comforted by this movie while I was watching it, which, again, not a good sign for a horror movie, you guys. And then the ending happened, I just laughed my ass off. And then it ended, and I was just like, I had fun.
What a delightful ending. Yeah. All the Swedes were so charming.
Yeah.
And cheery.
Yeah.
I fucking lost it.
I don't know. Here's what I was going to say about the beginning. So, guys, the beginning of this movie, if you haven't watched it, I mean, you know the drill. We're going to spoil the shit out of this movie. The beginning of the movie is that this girl is worried about her... she's like a college kid, worried about her sister. And it turns out that her sister has created a hose system to kill their parents and herself by strapping the hose to her face. It's real creepy looking.
It's the high point of the movie, and it's in the first 6 minutes.
Now, I don't think this is what they were trying to say, but this is one of those weird things that Hereditary had too, which it wasn't big enough to be like angry by. But Hereditary had a weird message about mental health. It's called Hereditary. It's about it being passed, and it's like inherently a very violent thing that's wrong with them. This movie seemed to, I was wondering, did they set up the sister murdering the family to show that the other sister was capable of that? Were they trying to show?
I think so. Yeah. They also lean heavily into the fact that she's worried she's bothering her boyfriend too much. Go ahead.
Oh, I liked that idea, that character they made her. It was very clear that she was, her boyfriend was emotionally like shitty, and she was being way too forgiving. And I think they did a good job with that, I guess.
Yeah, she's hella relatable in that.
Yeah.
In that sequence where she's like, I feel like I'm leaning on him too. Like, we all go through that.
Yeah.
But like they do very pointedly show that she gulps down some Ativan.
Exactly.
When she's,
yeah.
And like it cuts to her boyfriend, and all of her boyfriend's friends are like, well, not all of them, but like Will Poulter, the guy who was originally going to be Pennywise, is like, nah, you should dump her. She's bothering you all the time. She gets a therapist. Like she's depending on you too much emotionally, which may be true. And he doesn't immediately come off as a douche hammer, but like with every frame of the film that unfolds thereafter, the boyfriend descends even further into shittiness.
And his friends do kind of too.
A little bit.
Well, when they're like fighting over their college thesis thing and like,
well, that's more him. It's like,
yeah, that's true. He is. Yeah, you're right. He is the,
like, I'm
going to
do my thesis on this village. And Chidi is like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
You can't be serious. We're here because this is
right.
My thesis.
Yeah, he is a douchebag. Yeah.
No, I think I'm going to do my thesis on this. And if you want to collaborate, that's fine.
It's more that all the friends are like, she's like, they treat her like, oh, it's that shitty girlfriend that won't go away.
Right.
And then he invites her to tag along to this trip, and they're all bummed about that. And I like that, like, sort of the moral. I mean, smash cut to the end. All of the boyfriend and all his shitty friends are dead, stuffed in a barn that's on fire, and she's smiling and watching. And all I could think is like, yeah, bro, should have remembered her birthday, huh?
Like, yeah. She remembered her birthday.
Yeah.
Like, women be crazy, right?
But it is like, I know, like, the idea is she's drugged in the end and stuff. But it's
a
just
little.
Yeah, it's just funny that she's just like, yeah, and that takes care of my boyfriend, her shitty friends.
I think she's
that.
Yeah, I think it's more than drugged at the end.
Yes, yeah. I want to, you know,
because
like,
she like took some mushrooms. Like, right. He's drugged.
Yes. Well, they both took the same thing, I thought, because they give them the same shitty lemonade.
No,
the
they
end.
Don't.
Oh, really?
You notice how much, like, her trip is kind of pleasant. Like, it's very standard, like, swirly,
think,
and she sees the grass growing through her feet. He is freaking out handle anything.
I don't think that's the drug. I think that's their mental state. Like, I think they've taken the same drug, that one of them's having a bad trip and one of them's having a good trip, which does reflect their personalities and where they're
at. Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's what I assumed is by the end, because I liked how it began with her being like, oh, there's something wrong here. And it ends with her being like, you know what? This is fucking great. And he's the reversal. Yeah. I want to pitch an alternate ending since we're talking about the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have forgiven everything about this movie had this been the ending. Is it really should have been like her wrapped in all those flowers, and they're like, choose like the sacrifice or whatever, and he's like just drugged in
he
that
can't
wheelchair
move or speak.
Yeah, and there's all the people, and it's this big moment. I wanted a smash cut to them just on the plane home, just not talking to each other, and then that's the end.
Yep.
Because it felt like at any point it was like that. I think what made it funny, the ending for me, was purely his face while he was mostly paralyzed.
Because in a bear suit?
Yeah, his face was just like, this got out of hand. This really got away from me.
Yeah. Well, this is supposed to be a fun trip through Europe for summer. It was, now I'm in a bear suit.
Get lit on fire.
On fire.
Surrounded by flesh puppets. And then
I
when he's
can't even scream.
He's running around naked. Like,
yeah,
it was just
it was
so
dick
silly.
Flopping around. It was, there was a lot of like, yeah.
That was, again, this is the only reason, because I agree with you 100%. This is just the Wicker Man done again.
This is
again,
the Wicker Man.
And I don't know why people would like that. I expected at least the audience reviews to be low for this, and I looked it up, and it was like, no, it isn't. People seem to like this. And the only thing I can think of is people are laughing at the movie, because I found it. Maybe I'm desensitized.
I think this movie, much like the Nick Cage Wicker Man, will go down in history as one of those movies that you're going to be like, you have to watch this movie. It's fucking hilarious.
Well, okay. Yes and no, because it's also 2.5 hours.
It's also 2.5 hours long.
Yeah. So that's going to be a problem.
There's a lot wrong with this movie.
Yeah. I mean, the movie itself, I thought, like plot-wise and how it all comes together, was pretty fine, I thought.
You think so?
I mean,
all
right, well, prove me wrong.
From the point the characters arrive at the village, they don't make one sane, rational decision.
They certainly don't leave once the old people fall off the cliff. Sorry, yeah. Jump off the cliff.
Jump off the cliff and explode.
Yeah, that would have been the point where I would be like, all right, well, this has been great, guys. I'm going to head out.
Yeah, like, especially her, who she's recovering from losing her entire family in a murder-suicide, and then she sees two elderly people who look like a couple, who look like a pair of elderly parents, die violently in front of her.
Yeah. I love that they're just like, oh, we forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, please try to keep an open mind. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
that was a really hard sell. Keeping them there after that.
It wasn't even, they just don't. He just hand waves it.
Well, the British couple are like, okay, we're going to get the fuck out of here. They don't leave soon enough.
They don't. Yeah. It takes them another day. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have walked out. I was about to say, I would have walked, grabbed my backpack, and just kept on walking.
Kept on walking. Yep.
And been like, yeah, I'm gonna go.
I'm good.
Yeah. Do you need a ride? No, I don't need a ride. I don't need a ride.
I do not need a ride. Yeah.
We're in a cult.
Yes. This is a cult.
This is obviously a cult.
Yeah. A ritualistic suicide is a cult.
I guess what I mean is there's nothing wrong with it in the sense that I accept that horror movies will have dumb characters, and like that it's always trying to write someone to be somewhere to stay in. And I guess I didn't care about this movie enough to hold
fair.
It to those standards.
That's
because
fair.
It was like, again, it was, I was waiting for this movie to surprise me. And instead of surprising me, it just gave me exactly what The Wicker Man was. But it was like very pretty, and like the music was good and the cinematography was good. So I just kind of like sat there and just went along with the ride. And again, this is the sign of a bad horror movie. Like there isn't a moment in this movie that scared me. Like the beginning was kind of freaky, but that was it.
And the thing, like, I couldn't even give it the credit that I gave Hereditary, because Hereditary, I think, is terribly written. Much like this film, it is a remake, whether intentional or not, of a bad horror movie. The Hereditary is the same plot as the Paranormal Activity movies.
Oh yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, I would say that it's the same plot. Yeah, I would say that that's okay.
Demon possessed the wrong kid, and they got to put the demon into the right kid.
Yeah, I think that's okay only because the Paranormal Activities aren't classics. Like it's the Wicker Man is. It's such a different version of Paranormal Activity. Like, you're right, but it's just done way better. That's the strongest thing about Hereditary, you know, we talked about this, is the imagery, yeah.
And I can't even give this film that, because when this film tries to be shocking, it's laughable.
Exactly. And that's the thing, like, is it's still a very pretty movie.
Yeah, I want to talk about the shocks that it tries to go for.
Sure.
Like, it's the first one is when the two old people jump off the cliff, which is so telegraphed. Like, you're like, okay, just get to it already. Like, I know they're going to jump off this cliff.
Right.
Please just get to it. So the woman jumps first and her head bursts on the rock. And that was okay.
Yeah.
Like they show a shot of it where it's like her face is caved in. You can see kind of like a jellied eyeball in there.
You're
like,
all right,
that's a
gory.
Pretty gruesome thing.
Yeah.
That's as good as it gets. It goes downhill sharply from there. The old man jumps off and breaks his legs. I'm like, oh, that's a little shocking.
That landing.
He really fucks it up hardcore. Luckily, they have a guy standing by with a hammer.
Yeah, they got a mallet guy.
Who comes by and smushes his head. You're like, all right, that's good. Then they have two other people smush the guy's head two more times, which was a terrible decision because it's just a flattened Halloween mask, and it's obviously a flattened Halloween mask.
It was the first piece of gore was like realistic gore. Like it was like, oh God, that's probably what that looks like. Oh. And then it becomes kind of like a Monty Python sketch gore when it's two more people slamming on the head.
It continues slamming his head, yeah. And it's clearly just a Halloween mask with like some fake blood in it. Later in the film, when Chidi goes back to the church barn to photograph their sacred text, which is written in finger paint by an inbred child.
Sure.
Who they show you in the beginning in a split second. There's a lot of decisions that baffle me in this film.
Well, that kid didn't really factor in.
It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't do anything. Like, he just kind of his finger painting.
Anything. And I was glad at least the bear came back, because I spent most of the last part of the film like, so is the bear going to show up again, or was that another like...
He gives you two pieces of information. Yeah. You see the bear, and the British couple pointedly call out, are we just not going to talk about the bear?
Yeah.
Because we're not going to talk about the bear, but the movie called it out, so it's okay.
Right. But it was just like, yeah, we should probably talk about the bear.
We should probably talk about that bear. And then when he goes into the elder mother's house to talk to her, where she's like, Maya has chosen you for a mate, he's staring at a pictograph of a bear on fire.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I bet that's something, huh?
Yeah, I bet they're going to burn that bear, huh?
Yeah. I love that how much they... They telegraph a lot of stuff in the art, which was I didn't hate, but it was just funny when they pass. It was same in the bear sequence. They pass by a banner of a woman just feeding her pubes to a guy to make him love her,
and her menstrual blood,
mm-hmm. and then like
and both of those things happen.
Yes, of course they happen. There's a girl who has a crush on the boyfriend, and then when they're eating, she's just staring at him as he's eating and drinking.
He pulls a pube out of his mouth. And his glass of lemonade clearly is red, while everybody else's is yellow. And I looked up the IMDb trivia page to this film right before we started recording, and I think this may have something to do with why the audience score for this film is so high.
Okay.
One of the pieces of trivia about this film is during that banquet scene, you'll notice Christian's drink is a different color than the others. This may suggest that he's drinking menstrual blood. I'm like, really? Might it suggest that he is? I think the audience for this film is dumb, is what I'm saying, Dave.
Maybe. I mean,
you mean earlier in the film when we are shown a literal comic strip that details every step of this process? And then later on, we see it happen in real life. You think they may be connected?
What I love is later when he's talking to the woman. He goes to the woman who's like, "You should be with my daughter."
He's like,
"I think I ate one of her pubes."
And then the scene ends.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. Is I wasn't sure if this was supposed to be funny because it made me laugh so much because he spends like the last half of the movie blundering through this cult, just sort of letting it all happen to him.
He's being led around by his wang for the last half of the film.
And
he's drugged.
Being drugged, but like they're all reacting in a comedic way.
Yes, especially like, in the orgy scene when he's...
Oh my God!
That orgy scene
was hilarious.
The orgy scene should have been disturbing, but it is fucking hilarious.
Well, it seems like it's supposed to be a comedy. I'm wondering if this is supposed to be kind of funny.
I don't know.
Just describe the orgy scene. He walks in, and there's the woman who fed him her pubes.
And her menstrual blood.
And her menstrual blood. and she's good to go, and she's surrounded by a bunch of naked women, and they're just like, mate with this woman, and it's like a whole ritual. And yeah. What makes it hilarious is, like, they're all chanting, and then while they're trying, he's trying to have sex with her, he's a bit distracted. Because they're all singing and stuff. One of them bends down and holds the hand of the girl he's having sex with. And the woman holding her hand starts singing. And he is, like, on his face. He's clearly like, what the fuck are you doing? Do you mind?
He like, mugs during this scene. Yeah. Like, he pulls comedic faces.
He does.
To react to what's happening. And, like, an old lady gets behind him and starts pushing his butt.
But, yeah. That has to be, like, that wasn't supposed to be scary. They weren't trying to make it scary. That was a scene that was trying to be, I really think they saw the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man and was like, let's do that. Let's make something funny. Because that's the only explanation for this movie.
Well, here's a quote from the director himself.
Oh, no.
He said that he considers Midsommar to be his first horror movie. Because to him, Hereditary was, quote, a family drama.
Huh.
I think he might be a dickhead.
Yeah, that sounds pretty bad. He seems like he's not a great writer.
It's like, oh, Hereditary wasn't a horror film. It was a family drama. This is my first true horror film. Well, you fucked up.
Yeah.
Because it's really funny.
It's extremely
funny.
Not
at all scary. You put a man in a bear suit.
The moment a man goes in a bear suit is... Man, when he's God, the final fucking when they're leaving the barn or the weird triangle building, and you can see the thing on fire, and there's just a little silhouette of a bear. It's just like, yeah, this really got away with you, buddy.
Bear on fire. And I want to stress, it's a bear's skin. Like, you see them pull the bear's innards out. At no point does it ever come close to looking like a real bear. It's just a bear suit.
It's like the Wicker Man. It's like the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man bear suit situation.
It's going back to what I was going through the film's shocks. I had mentioned that there's a sequence where Chidi goes into the church barn to photograph their sacred text. And someone walks in behind him, and at first he thinks it's Will Poulter, but then it's revealed that it's somebody wearing Will Poulter's skin, I think.
Yeah, it's got a Poulter suit on.
I think that's him.
I'm pretty sure they did a bad mask for him. They show him later too, and it took me both times to be like, oh, it's Will Poulter. Okay. Because at first I was like, who is that?
They did a bad mask for several of the characters. Because there's several dead bodies that are revealed. I don't know who the fuck that character is.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, Chidi gets brained with a hammer. After Christian, the shitty boyfriend, runs out of the barn with his wang just helicoptering all over the place.
It is helicoptering, yes.
He runs over to a garden, and it's just Chidi's leg is sticking straight up out of the dirt with
like
a rune carved into it. Like, nobody saw that?
Well, okay. This is literally my first instinct. And it was a joke in my head. But they're bringing the main character. She becomes the flower
the
princess
queen.
Or whatever.
The May Queen.
And they bring her on a carriage to go plant some meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, what are they planting meat? All right. Mm-hmm. And then later that foot was sticking out. I was like, oh, I guess someone planted meat there.
they're going to grow a person.
Oh, there's another meat tree growing over there. Yeah. Also, why did the person walk in naked with the mask on?
Yeah.
That was weird.
And who was that? No idea.
Why
are they wearing a Will Poulter suit?
Yeah.
No clue.
That was one of those things that in Hereditary worked and this didn't, which was the naked old people. In Hereditary, it was like I knew enough about, like, okay, they're Satanists, whatever. You know, it was like, there's enough here to be like, okay, I get it. In that scene, I was like, what the fuck is that person out doing? Like, why are they naked? Why did they put that on? I mean, I guess it's a cult, and you could argue they were doing some sort of cult thing.
Mm-hmm.
It still felt very just weird for the sake of weird.
Yeah.
And again, I spent that moment not being scared, but being like, who's that mask? Like, well, who is that?
Here's why I want to talk about Chidi's legs sticking up out of the dirt.
Sure.
It's weird for the sake of being weird. It's trying to be shocking, but it's really just fucking funny.
Yeah.
Because we later learn that all of these kids were just intent, like their Swedish friend brought them there. They were all intended to be sacrifices, right. always intended to be sacrifices.
Right. But so my, it's just, sorry, go on.
Yeah. My point is that, Chidi is one of the people who's stuffed in with straw in the barn.
Right.
With both legs attached. Why the fuck would they bury him with one leg sticking up out of the ground? And if he's part of this ceremony to be a straw man, who else's leg would it be?
Because that's my only thought, is that it's not his leg.
Who else's leg would it be? Because
it's a dark-skinned leg.
Well, the only other man of color was the tall British guy, and he's also in the barn with both legs.
He has both legs, too?
Yeah.
So what is that, just a fucking spare leg they got?
And he's lighter skinned than Chidi, so it's like it's clearly supposed to be Chidi's leg.
I didn't notice the legs. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I was specifically looking for him because I was like, wait a minute. If they were both intended to be in this barn, why would they bury his leg?
Here's my only... I don't know why I'm doing the leg work. Nice. For this movie, but the only thing I can think of is there were some guy was stuffing Chidi and then like went out for a smoke and was holding the leg and was like, oh, I was going to bring the leg with me, and plopped it down in the dirt and walked away. And then
I
came
left the leg
back
in the garden.
Yeah. And then came back and was like, all right, I'm going to bring this leg back and put it back on. That's the only thing I can think. That was that didn't need to be in there.
I
don't care if the director didn't think it was a comedy. It's a comedy. This is I enjoyed this movie as a comedy. I was thoroughly entertained by it.
Right after he stumbles upon Chidi's leg, he runs into a chicken coop.
Yeah.
And there's a character just event horizon splayed open at the back. I forget what it's called, like the eagle or something, the blood eagle. They do it on that show Vikings.
Yeah, they did it in, I think, Hannibal as well.
They rip your lungs out through your back and make wings out of it. It was like a Viking thing.
Don't know why that was happening.
I don't know who that was. Was that Will Poulter?
I think that was... I thought that was the British guy.
It was the British guy, right?
Yeah.
Another thing that says that leg in the ground has to be Chidi's.
Right. Also, like what is he doing in there? Are they going to... Is that how they're stuffing him?
I don't know, because he's still breathing, but it's like, why, what is this?
He's still breathing?
Yeah, his lungs are aspirating.
Oh, neat.
It was two moments that were supposed to be shocking, but they're just so goofy and cartoonish, and they don't make any sense. It's like, why would they do this?
Yeah.
Like, if they're just going to make flesh-skinned scarecrows out of these people and put them in a barn to burn, why the fuck are they doing either of those things?
Right, and you can't argue that it's the drugs, because they make it... One thing this movie does pretty well, I thought, was if these drugs are the equivalent of mushrooms, which they seem to be, like they take mushrooms early and then these other drugs seem to be very similar, they do how drugs work well. They don't do just hallucinations in this. They do more of the warping effect that happens when you're on a hallucinogen, when like the everything is like when she has the flowers on and the flowers are like breathing. Like that's a very real effect of like mushrooms. So I guess what I'm getting at is that I don't think the drugs made them see like a leg coming out of the ground or anything like that.
No.
Man, it's fucking baffling.
It's also clear what is a drug effect and what isn't in this film.
They make it pretty clear.
Yeah, so...
That's what I'm saying, is that their depiction of drugs in this is pretty... It's pretty, like, realistic. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah, for sure.
But because of that, it was... Yeah, it's very clear what is drugs and what isn't, and what's the cult. So it's not ambiguous in that sense.
Mm-mm. No. So yeah, apart from being absurd and not making any sense in terms of plot or what these characters would do, as we just pointed out, the dummy that's hanging up splayed open in the barn, kind of tough to tell who it is. And they show after they have her as the May Queen make the final decision of who's going to be the last sacrifice, it's a hard cut to this guy. Well, not a hard cut, but it cuts to this guy pushing a wheelbarrow full of a corpse scarecrow into the barn, and it's like focusing on the scarecrow's face for a long time. I have no fucking idea who that character was supposed to be.
Yeah, the
was it supposed to be the girl, the British woman?
I don't know. They don't look... The dummies didn't look good.
The dummies didn't look like anyone.
Yeah.
The moments that are supposed to be shocking are made hilarious partially because the effects are bad.
Okay, so I'm looking at some of the audience reviews right now.
Mm-hmm.
And... sorry, there's one that's just very interesting. I wish I could find a deeper meaning to it all. But there's a bunch of them that's just like, oh yeah, anybody who's gone through a breakup or like no understands like relationships will find this creepy or something. I get, was it supposed to be about like a bad relationship? I mean, I know there's part of it, yeah. But it's not like relatable. I don't know. It's...
I guess in a meta sense, he'll probably, because he's saying Hereditary was a family drama. Like a year from now, he'll probably be like, yeah, this was a romantic comedy about human relationships. And yeah. I mean, there's no subtext there. It's very much text because the Pele, the Swedish friend, sits down with her and just literally says, does Christian feel like family to you? Does he feel like home?
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. So they're basically just recruiting her.
Yeah.
Or they're just, yeah.
So it was so pointed because he kept bringing up the fact that his parents were burned up when he was a kid. And then I guess you're supposed to infer that they probably volunteered to be burned in the Wicker
right.
Man at the end.
Yeah.
But that it didn't matter because he was the whole community is his family and he was raised by the whole community. So he knows what it's like to be an orphan, but he never felt that feeling of being adrift and not belonging.
Right.
And he's like, specifically the thing she's just gone through and is vulnerable to. It's such a pointed thing that I expected the reveal to be that he fucking killed her sister and her family.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was looking for new blood to bring in.
Part of me, all right, I guess I didn't expect the sister and the family to come in any direct way. Only because...
Hell of a coincidence.
I know. Well, only because I just assumed that they were going to... just knowing this filmmaker, that it was going to be like a reflection of what happens to this character, which it kind of is. But
sort of.
It is like... it's a hell of a coincidence, like you said. I don't know what else was going to happen if she didn't agree to come.
Right, because his only purpose, like we learn that his purpose was to go out and bring in new blood so that they can, they have deliberately incestuous pairings once in a while so they can get a new oracle, but they specifically say that they do have to come out and bring new people into the community so that they can keep, you know, bloodlines
right.
clean for subsequent generations. So, but beyond that, we know he went out to bring people in for the sacrifice because there has to be 9 sacrifices. So he was only ever friends with these 3 guys so that he could bring them to Sweden and kill them.
Yeah, here's my guess. My guess is that this is like the best year they've had doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is just a happy coincidence. I think it's just them being like, oh, this works really well. Because all they normally do, I think, is just get a bunch of stoned guys horned up, have mm-hmm. them have ritual music singing sex, mm-hmm. And then they burn them, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think this time they're like, oh, and we have like a person who's here to stay. Because it's a hard sell. Mm-hmm. I wonder why, because I was going to say, like, if you don't want people to know you're a cult, don't on day 2 have the elderly. Don't Soylent Green. Don't Logan's Run your elderly in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't do that because they'll instantly know. Oh, you're a cult.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they
say that for the last day.
Yeah, say that. Yeah, exactly. But maybe it's like the scam emails that purposefully use bad grammar, where it's they're trying to weed out the people who would know the obvious red flags. So they're just like, look, we do this, and whoever stays, like, they're going to fucking do whatever we want.
Yeah, they're down
yeah.
to fuck.
Yeah, these dummies that stay. The rest
with
that run out, like, we'll catch them in the woods, but, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what it is the 2 British people were just, like, smart enough, not smart enough to leave immediately, but smart enough to be like, yeah, we got to go. Let's go. And then all the other people were like, well, let's give them a chance. And they're like, yeah. Give us a chance, dummies. Yeah.
All the white people.
We're going to make you scarecrows, yes.
All of the white people.
Yeah. We're going to
make
some honky scarecrows. That's what we're going to do.
Yep.
Yeah, I think if you've never seen The Wicker Man and you haven't seen a lot of horror movies, or if you happen to get scared by something very specific that just triggers you in a way, I could see this movie working for you. Mm-hmm. Like if I were a teenager and I saw this movie, what would happen is I would see this movie, be like, it's good. And then someone older would be like, well, you should see The Wicker Man. And then I'd go back and watch that. And I can see, I guess my point is, I can see this movie working on people and people thinking it's good. I'm just surprised how many people, again, it's Rotten Tomatoes. So it's the people only reviewing are people who either really hate it or really love it.
Mm-hmm.
My point is that I can see why someone might see this movie and think it's good, because it's well shot. And if you just don't watch as many horror movies as us, you might not realize they just did The Wicker Man again.
Yeah.
That
really can't stress that enough.
Yeah, that said, I still think it was just funny. And I don't know if it's us us problem, but like if I had never seen a horror movie before and watched this, I would still find it funny.
It's pretty funny. I wish there was a better payoff.
Like I said, I really think hard cut them on the plane and the boyfriend like, so are we not going to talk about any of that? And they're like, no, we're not. Let's not talk about that.
Just like the bear, we're not going to talk
about it. Yeah, that got really out of hand. We were on drugs. Let's just leave it at that. Let's go home and not tell anybody. Like, that's all I wanted.
Yeah, man, it's the first, the pre-credit sequence, like the first 6 minutes promises such a different movie.
And it's the first up to the credits was great. The first shots of the winter, and it's like, and it's beautiful. And I know this is about seasons a lot. It's about the seasons as relating to people in life and stuff like that. So it made sense. And then, just the reveal of the parents and going out and ending credits and the music. Beautiful. And again, I think the rest of the movie is beautifully shot and beautifully put together. This director directs really good. It's just a silly fucking movie.
Yeah.
And again, I didn't hate it for that reason. Like, I didn't hate it because I don't know. I mean, were you bored during this movie?
At chunks. I checked my clock a few times.
Okay. I guess I wasn't. And so in that sense, the movie succeeded in that I had to watch 2.5 hours of something, and I was not looking forward to that. And then I was like halfway through and I was like, you know what? This is nice. I feel relaxed. I'm having a good time. And then the ending, I left the movie laughing, you know, like chuckling to myself. Like, that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Which, if I was going to see, I don't know, Spider-Man Homecoming, that's the correct audience response, you know?
Yeah.
But the fact that this is apparently supposed to be a really scary movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't speak kindly of it.
Oh, my God.
Fucking bear suit.
He puts him in a bear suit.
They put him in a bear suit.
Burns him to death. This is The Wicker Man.
It's so close to it's basically The Wicker Man, but like they've now allowed, like, this could be a sequel to The Wicker Man, but they've now decided to become more progressive and allow men. Mm-hmm. Like, but they're like, we're still going to burn people, right? And it's like, oh yeah, we're still going to burn people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's all harvest based too. It felt like at least, like, it's all about,
oh, it's 1,000% harvest based. Yeah,
yeah. I just, man, even if it wasn't like The Wicker Man, it's still one of the key problems with a movie about a cult is that you know how it's going to end, and that's a hard hurdle.
Mm.
And so when you have a movie like, say, The Endless, where you are like, okay, this is a movie about a cult, and then that's so not it what it is, like, that's refreshing.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Or you have The Sacrament, which you haven't seen The Sacrament, so I'm not going to spoil it. But The Sacrament is also a movie about a cult. And I can't say I got to watch it again, because it's not unsurprising what happens, and yet it's very shocking. And so, like, my point is that in order to do a movie like this, you have to have something to say. And
right.
You have to have a way to end it and something to do in it that's going to change people's expectations or shock them. And for me, it was just like, oh, it's about a cult. Oh, they're doing culty stuff. Oh, they set all those people on fire like a cult would do.
Like a cult would do.
Yeah. Right. Turns out the cult was a cult all along.
Yeah. Yeah, it was such a bummer because I went into it. Again, my feelings about Hereditary, I was like, well, this is going to be clunky and frustrating, but there's going to be some truly shocking shit that's going to stick with me. And that first 6 minutes delivers. I was like, oh, this is a strong offer. I wonder how this is going to play into the rest of the film. And the answer is that it doesn't.
Yeah. And that the rest of the film just didn't have. There was a couple when she's on mushrooms and she goes to the shed and she briefly sees her sister.
Yeah, okay. That was like she has a couple of flashes of seeing her dead parents and her dead sister in a couple of scenes.
Yeah, and those moments were like, okay, that was pretty good. But like, there was nothing. It was nothing like Hereditary in this imagery wise. There was nothing that stuck with me.
I didn't laugh at Hereditary one time.
I might have. I think I laughed in the other version of laughter. The laughter
when it's like so extreme that you're just like, oh no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The laughter of like the time I broke into an abandoned asylum, got lost and found myself in the morgue and started laughing because it's just like, oh, I'm going to die. Like, it's that kind of laughter.
Yeah.
And Hereditary had those moments where like when the kid wakes up and she's just like a little spider in the corner of the fucking room. And it's just like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
Yep.
But yeah, nothing stuck with me. Nothing visual really stuck with me in the sense of a scary way. I can't stop thinking about his little fucking angry, defeated face in a bear costume, just sitting on some hay, just like thinking, like, where did this all go wrong?
I thought I was gonna take a bunch of drugs and get laid.
Yeah.
Now I'm in a bear suit. And I'm burning to death in a fucking barn in Sweden.
Like, yeah, it's just this little bear silhouette in the barn. Oh my god. It's just so, I think it's also because they didn't make me like the character, so.
No, he's deliberately unlikable.
Yeah. It's kind of the same with the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man, where he's not unlikable, but he's like aggressive and he's kind of a dick. And then the last thing we see before he gets burned alive is him running around in a bear suit punching people. And then him being like, not the bees, they're in my eyes. And it's just, it's so absurd that like anything you cared about them melts away and you're just like, this is funny. And that's the sense, that's why I'm like, I don't feel like I'm disturbed, because a lot of people find the Wicker Man funny, the Nicolas Cage one, that while someone's being tortured and burned alive, it somehow manages to be funny. And this is kind of the same feeling, which it was like, I'm like I'm like kind of impressed that they made me laugh at something that's horrific.
On paper, it's horrific.
On paper, it's horrific, yeah. Fucking bear suit.
Goddamn bear suit. Holy shit.
He's having such a bad day. He's such a grumpy old bear.
Just frowning his little bear face.
Little bear face. Oh, my God.
That picture, that little pictograph of a bear on fire.
Just looking at it like,
just a snarling bear with flames rising around it.
It's like, I wonder if I should be worried. I think I ate one of her pubes.
And then it ends. The scene ends.
That, so fucking
that's
weird.
It. There's, oh my God. Oh my God. This fucking film. What is this movie?
I don't know, man.
Oh my God.
No. My recommendation for people is watch the beginning. Let's see, it's 2.5 hours long. If you're at a movie theater, watch the beginning. Go to the food court and
for
like
about 30 minutes.
30 minutes or so. Yeah. And then just go back and enjoy the rest. I don't know. It's a movie about a fucking cult. You know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, you know, every single
again, it's
beat.
It's a pretty movie. So I didn't again, I didn't get bored throughout, so like or sit through the whole thing, I guess. I'm probably not gonna watch this again. I might watch parts of it again.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe in a year or so. But yeah, this is the opposite feelings of Hereditary.
God damn it. Like, and I just saw like this big glowing write-up that was like Ari Aster and the boldness of setting a horror film during the in broad daylight. I'm like, you guys not seen Jaws?
Yeah. Also, I mean, this wasn't why, but it wasn't scary.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't scary because it was in daylight. It just, I don't know. It would have been more impressive if it was scary and not during the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, more movies should not have to think up stupid excuses to, you know, make it dark or that fucking, that green color that horror movies have or like, you know. Like, also, I just watched the Ring only... sequel, and and like just like the first Ring, it's one of those movies where they're out in like the fair, out in like outside hanging out, and it's just like, why can't I see anything? Like, why is it dark during the day? So yeah, I appreciate a bright horror movie, sure, but that's not anything that new.
All right, and also I want to point out the only murder that you actually see on screen occurs at night in a dark barn.
Yeah, you're right.
So go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
Whoever wrote that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie is dumb as hell, but it's also very funny.
Yeah. And so like I can kind of recommend it for that reason. yeah, if they meant to make a horror movie, I'm not seeing it.
They did not succeed.
Yeah. Like I said, I feel good. I felt good leaving the theater. I was just like, ha, all right, time to start the day. Like, just having a great
yeah,
time.
I can't believe, like, I was uneasy about having to go to a night showing of this. It was earlier in the week, the only showing was at, like, 7 and 10:45, and I was like, man, I don't know. Because again, Hereditary, while I didn't love the film, it hit me with a couple of shit that I was like,
right, and you
I don't know about
that.
This. Yeah, like, so I was expecting it.
Yeah.
Nope.
After watching Hereditary, the first time I'm like in my room and it's dark, I'm just like,
yeah, I don't know
but
about
this. But yeah, this one, if I watched this at night, I'd probably sleep soundly.
I'd be fine. I'd sleep like a baby.
I'd sleep chuckling to myself, dreaming of little grumpy bears.
I could put this movie on and fall asleep in front of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I could too.
It is that not scary.
Yeah. Yeah, like I guess there's a little bit of that dread feeling, the suspense, but like it's, I think that might be why the ending is even funnier, because it breaks the tension in a comedic way for me.
Yeah.
And so I think there was a little tension leading up, but then it was just like, yeah, the ending is so fucking funny that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's better than the Suspiria remake, which is the other 2.5 hour horror movie.
Yes. Well, that wasn't funny and that wasn't good. And that was just,
it was
boring.
Just bad all around.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts on this film.
Yeah, I think we understand each other.
Yeah.
And I think we're understood. I'm sorry if you watch this film and you're listening to us like, I can't fucking believe this is their thoughts on it.
Well.
But I just don't see this as anything else but a kind of a funny movie.
That's, yeah, I want to see this director direct somebody else's script.
Yeah, this stinks of Shyamalan, where Shyamalan's another director where I'm just like, strong start, you should stop writing.
Yeah, because Shyamalan's another guy that's like, he's
terrific,
pretty good
director, great, terrible
should
writer,
write his own movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
take that word processor away from him.
Yep. Give it to somebody else.
Give it to somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yep.
I think we're good.
Yeah,
I think that's a sode. That's a sode.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Yeah, like Dave just said. We have a Patreon. If you feel like supporting us, you can go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, where you can gain access to a couple of cool exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder's Maniac, and Tom and Jeff Watch Batman.
That's correct. We also have a TeePublic. TeePublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. We got all sorts of fucking merchandise. It's great. It's great, you guys. We got a Fox Mulder's a Maniac t-shirt, a poster. We got all of our podcasts in shirt and poster and cup form. Fucking go on there. Check it out. It's great. And also rate us on Apple Podcasts if you got the time. If not, that's cool, too.
Yeah, either way. Good. Continue living your life.